Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on tonight. Welcome to another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. This is Kwajalein, and here's my husband.
Hello. How's everybody?
So we're going to go ahead, and we do have a caller on the line. We're going to go ahead and open up our line. Pastor Michelle, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am. God
bless
you
for calling in. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing quite well. How are you guys?
Doing fine. Doing fine.
Good.
That's great.
Thank you for calling in. And if we have any listeners out there, we do ask if you would like to join in, chime in on our discussion tonight, that you please call in to 757-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571. That's 657-383-1571. I'm Pastor Michelle. Of course, your line will be open. We would love for you to input on the discussion tonight. We understand your grandbaby's in the back, but that's okay. You know, it's a family show, so whoever doesn't understand that, we hope one day they'll get an understanding. But, you know, we're a family show. We have things going on and children in the back. So we would love to hear what you have. Before we get started, I just have something that I just want to discuss because this has really just bothered me. The lady from Ghostbusters, Leslie Jones, the black lady, I think most of us know, they just did a remake of, you know, Ghostbusters, you know, the movie that was out when we were growing up. And so we know when the original, it was, you know, based the all of the they were males, the stars were males, whatever. And this time they redid it with women. But Leslie Jones, she's the African American woman in the movie. I haven't seen it yet. But anyway, there is an article out now that she has been bombarded. According to this, I'm reading this directly from the article, bombarded with racial slurs on Twitter for her part in the movie. And so they did this article, and they're showing where people are calling her, they've been calling her an ape, big-lipped coon, just all these type of things. I mean, she has been getting all of these tweets. To the point, they even compared her to the gorilla Harambe. Sorry, I don't want to offend nobody for mispronouncing the gorilla's name. The gorilla that got shot, they even compared her to that gorilla and said that they would prefer the gorilla over her. And so she was bombarded with all these tweets to the point of where she had to come off of Twitter. And her heart, you know, she was just talking about how hurt she was. And I just think that this is just awful. This is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous how much hate is going on. And we have to know, we're talking about words of affirmation on tonight. We really, you know, it's ridiculous how hard we can be and how hateful we can be with the things that we say to people. We have to realize that people are human. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what their lifestyle is. I don't care what we agree or disagree with about them. People are human. We all have feelings. We all have hearts. We all have emotions. And that is just ridiculous. That really has just bothered me. And I'm sorry, I just had to say something about that and just get that out there because it's just ridiculous.
It
makes no sense.
It is ridiculous. You know, I tell you, that superior-inferior complex that people have thinking that they're better than another race is getting out of hand. But we're going to change the topic and change the topic of the atmosphere because I think we need to speak a little bit about some love. Let's talk about love, boo.
I just wanted to talk about that, and I'm going to try to find her on Facebook or something and send a message. That's just ridiculous. That's just so sad. Okay. We are tonight talking about the book. Well, I have three of the books here, actually. The Five Love Languages. And so I want to address all of them. Okay, The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. So I do want to give him his credit. And he also, there's one, he has the five love languages for married couples. Then there's the one, they actually have a military edition. We got this when we went on our retreat, the five love languages military edition, The Secret to Love That Lasts. And they actually said that this one took, like, I think, like 25, 30 years or something to make, you know, something like that. But that's a long time. And then they also have one for children, The Five Love Languages of Children. So we're going to start off. We're going to start off talking about marriages. I don't know who all has read the book. I started reading it. I didn't finish it. But when we went to this retreat, it really sparked me. Than like it did before when I tried to read it before. I guess this was the time. It sparked an interest in me, and it really caught my attention more than it had before. And so as we were in the class, I just began to gained a better understanding of how important it is, you know, to know what love language your spouse speaks or your child, you know, what love language your child speaks, and also what love language we ourselves speak, because sometimes we have a love language and we don't realize what our love language is. And so once we realize that, you know, that helps with the communication in our relationship. It helps to build on our relationship. It helps us to be able to better relate to our spouses and not do things, because sometimes my husband's love language is one thing and mine is another. And so, when we're thinking according to our love language, and then we try to do things for our spouse according to our own love language, and then it's not received like we want it to be received, and then there's a problem because we weren't speaking their love language. And so that's why I really wanted to talk about this. I do think it is a very, you know, important part of understanding, you know, in relationships in general, but we are going to start off in marriages, and just, you know, understanding each other and just trying to get, you know, some information out there. Hopefully we can help somebody, because that's the goal of the show. So tonight we are going to start by talking about words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Now, we know that it is important, it is very important that we give our spouses compliments. To affirm, according to the dictionary, Oxford Dictionary, means to offer someone emotional support or encouragement. Now, it's very easy for us to talk about the negative things that go on in our relationships, the negative things that our spouses may do, the negative things that our spouses may say, the things that may not even be negative, but they just, you know, get under our skin. However, we have to keep in mind that even in that it's important that everybody receives words of affirmation. As human beings, it's important that we receive encouragement. it's important that, you know, that we receive some attaboys, that, you know, that we're doing a good job or whatever. So it's important for us to be affirmed as human beings. However, even in that, you have some people that need that more than others. Some people, that is their primary love language. If they don't get that affirmation, there are just some things you're not going to get out of them. And so the book goes into, you know, different examples and things like that, and we'll go over some of those. But it's important that we discuss and that we realize how important it is. The Bible even talks about, you know, the Bible even has different scriptures about the things that we say and the way we say things. And so I just wanted to get into this. One thing that Solomon said, and this is in the book, the tongue has the power of life and death. And I think those of us that know the Bible, we know that because we say it a lot of times. And Pastor Michelle was actually even talking about that today when we were on the phone, talking about that. And we know that, but I think we do have to, we have to get to a point that we realize how powerful our tongue really, really is. We can break our spouses down. We can build them up. We can make them think that they can conquer the world, or we can make them think that they can't do anything according to some of the things that we say and how they say them and how we say them. I'm going to read this part of the book. Verbal compliments or words of appreciation are powerful communicators of love. They are best expressed in simple, straightforward statements of affirmation. So some of the simplest things can mean the most. And I think sometimes we forget that. I'm going to let my husband talk because I don't want to just take over. Go ahead.
All right. So, yeah, affirmation is definitely a very important love language. We all love to get our ego stroked every now and then and say, hey, baby, you know, you did this. I appreciate how you did this. And, you know, I gave my wife some affirmation tonight. I called her up and I said, honey, I just called up out of the blue and said, babe, could you make some of that baked macaroni and cheese you make? Because it'd be so good. I like how you make the baked macaroni and cheese. And she made it. You know, just, and that was me giving her words of affirmation. So I'm giving her words of affirmation, which is, by the way, one of her love languages. You know, her top three. She decided to go ahead and make your boy some god doggone macaroni and cheese. So I'm good with that.
Yes, I did. I made a macaroni and cheese.
Thank you.
And I don't even like to cook.
Thank you.
But, you know, it is important to realize how, you know, important it is for us to affirm our spouses. Even in the midst of complaining, there's always something positive. There's always something positive. And so in the book, you know, it was even talking about a challenge of, you know, making sure that we, for once, for a day, for a week or something like that, every day for a week or something, you know, you find something positive to compliment your spouse on. And the sad thing is that that has to be a challenge, and that's something that we have to be reminded of. And I guess what I would challenge us to do as couples is to try to do that every day anyway, mm-hmm. you know, to try to make it a habit anyway to affirm our spouses, to give a compliment, to give encouragement. Pastor Michelle, do you have anything to say thus far?
I just want to say that you're absolutely right. It's important because, as being married, we can become very mundane, especially once you have children. The day becomes very regimental. So when you throw that in there, especially women, we're very emotional. So right. When our husbands tell us something, that can carry us for hours because we'll think about it in the middle of how hard it is with the children or even our jobs, and we'll just think about what our husband says, and it makes us smile. And so I think that's very important. Affirmation is very important. That encouraging word is really good.
Right. That's right. And it is important for us as women because sometimes, you know, you have times when we do want flowers or things like that, but sometimes it doesn't even take all of that. Sometimes we just want to know that our feelings are important. We want to know that you noticed. Oh, you noticed that I got my eyebrows done. Or you noticed that I changed, you know, the polish on my toes. That you notice and that it looks good on me. That you tell me that, well, don't lie about it, but you know what I'm saying. If it really looks good, you know, that you tell me that it looks good on me. But you notice, you affirm me in the things that I want to do. One of the examples that it talks about in the book is this lady. She was a writer. Young, when she was young, she received, you know, rejection. She had sent off one of her articles. She submitted an article to a magazine, and she was rejected. So she didn't have the courage to do it again. And so as time went on, her husband, he didn't really pay attention to what she was doing. He was very caught up in his own career. And so eventually, you know, time went on. And one day he decided to read one of her articles while she was in there reading. And so he went in and he interrupted her while she was reading. And he just wanted to tell her how much of a, you know, fascinating writer she was, how excellent she was. And she didn't even go back to reading after that. She couldn't even go back to reading. And so that gave her the courage after all that time, all those years. What was said from her husband gave her the courage to submit articles again. And, of course, she ended up submitting, you know, being published and having a book deal and all of that. But it was so important for her husband to say it, and he had gone all of those years without just giving her. It only took probably just a few minutes. I doubt if it was even a long time. Just a few minutes of his time to read the article and give her those words, and that changed her whole course in life, her whole course. And so she began to step out on the things, the gift that she had. And it just gave her this, you know, this confidence. It just boosted her. And so, you know, it's just amazing how a word, an affirming word, can change our whole course in life.
I agree. And you know, when you're committed to someone, whether it's, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, fiance, or husband or wife. Most of the time, the words that come from the ones that you care about the most are the ones that are the most, that mean the most to you. Sometimes a stranger can come about and say something to you, be like, you don't know me. How you going to try to talk about me like that? But then sometimes there are words that can come across and cut like a blade, I mean, to the bone marrow. And, you know, just like this story my wife just shared about the lady in the book. But affirmation is definitely, it's highly super sensitive and very important. It can make you or break you. Okay, our next caller on the line, we have ending in 2174. Thanks for calling, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Ms. Phyllis. This is Ms. Phyllis. How you all doing?
We're great. How you doing, Ms. Phyllis?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, Minister Phyllis.
Hey, babies. I'm not feeling my best right now, but I just want to come on in and join in with you all tonight.
Well, thank you for calling in. We appreciate you for taking your time to do so.
Yes, ma'am.
We, of course, we'll have the line open if there's anything that you would like to say. We are reviewing the book, The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight we are talking about words of affirmation and how important it is for us to, you know, affirm, for us to encourage our spouses. Right now we're talking about spouses. My husband wants to just say on marriages, but I do want to touch on children. But how important it is to affirm our spouses, you know, to encourage each other, and how much of a difference that can make in their life, especially if that is their primary love language. Now, we should do it anyway, because as humans, we all need it. We all need that word of encouragement, and it's an act of love, and I think that's something that we have to keep in mind, that when you take out the time to encourage somebody, especially from the heart, that is an act of love. And that's, of course, what the book is talking about as well. It's not just doing something, but it's an act of love. And so we're just, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about tonight. So I also want to touch on the tone of voice. Now, anybody that knows me knows that this is one of my biggest issues, but, you know, I'm getting... So even in the process, you know, when we are encouraging our spouses, you know, affirming them, it's important that we say it the right way.
That's right.
Because we can say the same thing, you know, two different ways. Well, we can use the same words in two different tones is what I'm trying to say, and it will be received differently. So when we are giving these words, we want to make sure that we are using a loving tone, shall I say? A loving tone.
Yes.
Okay. We have another caller on the line. Miss Brenda, are you there?
Yes, I am, darling. How are you?
We're doing good, Miss Brenda. Thank you for calling on tonight.
I lost the number. I had to find it.
Oh, you lost the number. Yeah, I know we've been off for a few days.
It erased out my number. It erased out my phone for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, your line will be open if you have anything to say. We're just going over words of affirmation from the book, The Five Love Languages, just talking about how important it is to affirm each other. You know, right now we're talking about our marriages, but we're going to go on and we're going to, because this is something that we can use in our relationships, actually. So if you have anything to say, please jump in there, okay?
Thank you, darling.
And okay. So we were just addressing the tone, to not say it in when we are given those, you know, those things, to make sure that we say them in a loving tone.
Right, and I honestly agree with you, honey, about the tone and how important it is. Because it can convey a different message based on the tone of voice. Because you can say love you, and it sounds good to somebody like that's music to my ears. You can say love you, and then that just sounds so dry and bland, you know.
Yeah.
Once you get into that area to where you find out it's really an interesting book, to be honest with you, because it gives you the opportunity to not only learn your spouse, but I mean, or your significant other. I mean, you truly learn them. You learn their love language. You learn the ins and outs. You learn what makes them smile, what makes them, you know, what makes them happy. And you know, all of the love languages are really based around relationship preservation, if you will, just for lack of better words. You know what I'm saying? It really helps to preserve all relationships, you know, relationships in the children, relationships in the husband and wife, you know, and just relationships with friends, period, you know.
That's true. Even though the first book does focus on marriages, but this is something that we can apply to just relationships, because even in, you know, with friendships, it's important to know what your friend's love language is. It truly, truly is. I ought to ask Pastor Michelle if she knows what my love language is. But it's important
know.
To know what is it.
Yours is affirmation.
That is one of them.
Ma'am,
it is.
I think it's affirmation only. And you're such a background person. I've never read the book before, so I don't know what the proper word could be for what the book says. But you are a type of person that, which makes me upset, Pastor Kenny. I'm just saying she is. I have to get on you for being so down on yourself. So I have to help you look at you in a different way. You're so critical and hard on yourself when you're actually such an amazing person.
just not just being my pastor, you know, my friend, you know, my person, my confidant, you're amazing, and you don't, and you take you for granted. So I don't know what that would be, but I have to just say that.
Well, thank you, and you do stay on me a lot. My husband does too. But yes, that is one of the words of affirmation. And it is, you know, like we were saying, it's important to know it in every relationship. And here's something else that the book says, but it says spouses, but again, this can apply to any relationship. Encouragement requires empathy and seeing the world from your spouse's perspective. That is something that I think is awesome. So, again, we can change spouses to friends, children, you know, whatever. But it does require empathy because we have to realize that I may see things one way, but you may see things another way. And so since this is your perspective, I'm going to try to see things the way that you see them, and I'm going to try to encourage you where you are. So I think that is important, and that does show love, because for somebody to take the time to do that, that is definitely an act of love, because everybody will not do it. Mm-hmm. Huh? Well, I wanted to talk about that one right now, but we can move on to that one. Okay. My husband was asking me if we were going to go on to the second love language. I had said words of affirmation, but I do think we could probably move on because I don't know what else we can say about that one. I do want to go to the one about children, though, and this isn't This is words of affirmation. What we're talking about, and I don't think this ever gets old. I don't care how old our children are. I don't care how old our children are. They're always, you know, be our children. But even when they're, you know, they're young, it talks about, you know, as far as even giving them words of affirmation makes it easier with discipline as far as the young kids. When we make sure that we give them, you know, encouragement and, you know, of course we can use this for those of you who have grandkids, you give them the encouragement, affirm them, but also discipline them. And I think sometimes, you know, as parents, we forget that, because especially if we're getting caught up in the discipline. And then we're disciplining, and we forget sometimes to come back and to say, but you did a good job here. Okay, you may have done this, and you may not have done this, but you did do this. And I thank you for helping today. And you know, you're a great big brother. You are a great, you know, dancer. I love the way you make sure the kitchen's clean or, you know, whatever. So making sure that we give them that praise, you know, genuinely give them that praise. And a lot of times I think it will help even in the disciplinary, you know, in disciplining them, and also can help them to be more, I guess, submissive to what we say, because we know sometimes kids are just, they go through that moment. Some of them just go through their moments of being rebellious. So we have some children that is their primary love language. So, you know, it's important to know if that is their love language. And I will give some, they have some questions and some things that, you know, on here, if you guys want to know any more information on it or whatever. But they have some questions, kind of a little questionnaire you can go through to see if that's your child's primary love language, if that's your spouse's or yours or whatever. But it's a very, very good book. You have anything to say, baby?
I'm good.
Okay. So we're going to move on to the next one. Quality time is the next one. Now, this one is one of my husband's love languages, one of his top love languages, spending quality time with each other. Sometimes, now I think, again, we can see this even in friendships. You have one person in the relationship
that's their primary. They love quality time. They love to spend time with you in person. They love to, you know, talk on the phone. They love to be around you. You know, they love that time. I want that time. And then you may have another person where that's not their love language. However, even if that's not your love language, we have to, first of all, be made aware of whether or not that's, you know, the other person's love language, and then do the same as we did with words of affirmation. Be empathetic and be willing to show love and to give that person more of our time because that is their love language. That, now, honestly, yeah, that sometimes, like my husband, he loves for me to go to bed with him, even to just be in the bed. That's what he likes. I like to stay up. You know, I like to stay up. I like to have my free time, my me time at night. That's what I like. Look at my shows, work on my writing, talk to Pastor Michelle, whatever. I like to do that at night after being with these kids all day long. You know, I'm with these kids all day long. But Kenny, he's always been that one where he likes for me to go to bed with him. But we've learned how to compromise. I know if I have stayed, you know, if I've been up two or three nights or whatever and he hasn't said anything, then I know that next night I need to make sure that I go to bed when he goes to bed. Just to be in the bed when he's in the bed because that's just what he likes. He likes that. That's what he likes because he's a quality time type person. He comes home. I don't have to worry about him going out, hanging out with the guys. I actually have to ask him to, you know, go find some friends and hang out because he comes home. He likes to be home. He likes to be with his family. You know, he likes to be here. That's his love language, quality time. I didn't really get that until we went to the retreat. I knew that he liked those things, but I didn't realize that that was his primary love language. And so I didn't realize that, okay, me just going and laying in the bed with him at night, to him that's an act of showing him love, but not just laying in the bed. That's showing him love because that's his love language. And so I just thought that was, you know, that was eye-opening for me, shall I say.
Yep, man.
I have a quick question. I'm sorry.
Sure, go ahead.
I just have one question. Can a person have more than one love language?
Absolutely. Okay. And what we were being taught on about the love languages down at the retreat is that we tend to internalize and prioritize the love languages based on, you know, our top one or our top three, you know, down to the very last love language. But we can actually have a hint of all of the love languages. But we tend, like I said, to internalize and prioritize which one we have the most. And it's definitely, like I said, it's definitely a good book. And I also realized, too, that my wife's one of her love languages is quality time as well. But hers is a little lower on the list. But she does like acts of service, and we'll get into that one a little later. But with the quality time, I don't care if it's our 50th anniversary. I can ask her what she wants for anniversary, and she'll say dinner and a movie. Because that's just her. She's simple, you know, and she doesn't look to do all of these upgrades with the jewelry and stuff like that. Dinner and a movie, and I got a heart right there. That's quality time. That's something she enjoys doing, and she always has and probably always will. And, you know, it really took some time for me, you know, over the years to actually learn her love languages. But I must say she actually has tapped into all five of the love languages. It's just a matter of which ones mean the most to her and her top three, I would say, her top three.
Right. And so, yes, that was a great question, Pastor Michelle, because, yes, you can have more than one. But the way we did it, you know, when we filled out the questionnaire or whatever, it was I think quality time for me was like number four. But Kenny, it was number one. So that was like his primary. That's what you know, on the top of at the top of the list for him, but it's not for me. And so it's just, even in that, you know, just realizing, I realize how important it is to just kind of sit back and go through some things when it comes to, you know, our spouses, our friends, our children. Just look at some things, look at the person individually, and really take time out to say, okay, do I really know what speaks love to this person? Because I have, I have many friends, but then I can see, even though my friends have a lot of the same, you know, they think a lot alike, because a lot of my friends, you know, we think a lot alike, but although we all, you know, we have a lot of differences, but I can see where this one's love language may be this one, and this one's love language, primary love language, I'll put it that way, maybe this, and this one's maybe that. And so it's learning how to, even in that relationship, how can we better that relationship? You know, how can I help better this relationship, okay, by having a greater understanding of my friend, their likes, their dislikes, and what speaks love to them? How can I better my relationship with my husband? How can I better my relationship with my children? You know, I look at the three of them and see, okay, what is their love language? What is Jeremiah's? What is Jared's? What means more to Jeremiah? What means more to Jared? What means more to, well, Mariah? She's, yeah. You know, what means more to Mariah? And so it's just, you know, looking to see and then trying to better our relationship by building on those things. So quality time. Does anyone have anything to say on quality time before we keep going? Nobody? Okay. Now, in the book, when they're talking about quality time, and this is something I know that, you know, we sometimes fall short of, giving the person your undivided attention. Undivided. No phones. you know, hey, you have my attention. Whatever you're talking about, whatever you're doing, whatever, you have my undivided attention. And so that's what they're talking about as far as quality time. And in this day of technology, where we have our phones and our iPods and, you know, and our iPads and all these things, you know, I think we can come sometimes, especially the younger generation, you know, we can come sometimes kind of, not give quality time like we should. You have anything to say about that one, babe? We'll move on.
Yeah, well, one of the latest crazes right now is this Pokemon Go. I'm telling you, people all over the place with this Pokemon Go. And I just want to throw that in there because I thought it was hilarious. I seen a video of this guy just running around. It looks like he's fighting the air, but but he's trying to chase a Pokemon. But I was actually sitting. I was sitting in a restaurant. What was I sitting at? No, actually, I was outside. I was outside at work, and I actually had duty one night, and there were about, I say about 60, maybe 70 soldiers out there. And out of those 70, about 99% of the soldiers' faces were lit up from their cell phone. Everybody's face was down in their cell phone. And it was like no one was talking. You know, everybody was just sitting there on their cell phones, you know, and you know, strolling through their Instagram, Snapchats, and what have you. And nobody was focused on anything. And you know, most of the time, whenever a non-commissioned officer, a sergeant, or a first sergeant, or a sergeant first class walks up, you know, the soldiers are supposed to render the proper custom and courtesy. Well, it was impossible for them to do that because they weren't aware of their surroundings. But same thing goes with situational awareness when you're with your significant other, you're with your wife, you're with your husband. You know, you're at dinner. That should be a time which, you know, my wife and I have been working on, you know, because sometimes we do get caught up on the phone. I don't get to use my phone during the day most of the time, and then I come home, and then that's my opportunity to sit down and just trip out over what I see on Facebook, because I'm a video guy. If I see hilarious videos, I'm trying to share it with my wife and show her and laugh at them, you know, just to get a good laugh. But that in actuality does rob you of the quality time you should be able to spend with not only your spouse, but also with your children.
Right. And that is something else. You know, putting the phone down for those of us that have little kids or grandkids or, you know, whatever, putting the phones down and doing whatever, whether it's outside playing with them, talking to them, you know, whatever, that's spending that quality time. And in some cases, like, I would think that that's one of Jeremiah's probably top love languages is quality time. He loves to talk and talk and talk. He likes to talk about he loves to talk. You know, he likes to talk about, he loves TV. He likes to talk about what he likes on TV. But now I think his newest thing is probably reading, huh? I think reading is probably catching up with TV. He still loves TV, but he loves to read. And he loves to talk about what he's reading. And it doesn't matter what I can be in the kitchen cooking. If he sees something on TV, I can be in the bathroom and he'll come to the door, Mama, you got to come look at this commercial. And it's like, man, wait till I get out of the restroom. You know, but it's like just he likes that engagement. He loves that. Jared, I would definitely say physical touch, but we'll get into that later. But, you know, he just likes that. He likes that conversation and just spending that time talking to him. My husband tells me I talk to him like he's a teenager. I don't think I talk to him like he's a teenager, but sometimes he talks back like a teenager. I mean, he sometimes doesn't talk like he's 10 years old. So those are just, you know, the conversations that we have. It's the level that we conversate on. But he, you know, he loves that quality time. And so I think it's, you know, it's important that we do get back to that and, again, realize that that is one of the primary love languages of the person that we're in the relationship. Because part of the reason we have so many broken relationships, I think part of the reason is because we don't understand that other person's language, their love language. And so there's communication barrier there, and we both of us are trying to communicate with the other one. I'm trying to communicate with you. You trying to communicate with me. It seems like we're not getting anywhere because we're not speaking each other's language. And again, you know, that goes for all relationships. Keisha, I know you're on the line. Your line is open if you have anything to say. We're talking about the five love languages.
Yes,
and we're talking about it as far as, yeah, all relationships, marriages, children, you know, friendships, and any relationship it can apply.
All right.
Right. Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right.
Yeah, we definitely not okay right now, so I'm probably not gonna talk like at all, really.
All right. Totally understand. and you know, we're definitely talking about that quality time love language. And I think everybody actually has an opportunity to engross themselves and indulge in this love language simply because, right, in order for us to get to know someone, we have to do what? We have to invest time and effort into that person. That's the only way we're going to get to know them. And you know, even when it's down to our children, you know, it's important to, you know, invest that time in learning. What do y'all like to do? What do you like to do? When you're sitting upstairs and you're in your room by yourself and you feel like it's bored because you're on punishment, what do you like to do? What you do? I said bored. I know, callers. Y'all heard me say bored. My wife just popped me for no reason. But, see, that was unfair, but I still give her a good love language. I love you, honey. Give her good words of affirmation. Bless her heart. But definitely, you know what I'm saying, you get to know one another, and then that's definitely a key element to, you know, relationship preservation. Again, you know, even when it comes to like you said, honey, in the friendship realm. But I think it also deals with, you know, our relationship with the Lord too, you know. You know, these five love languages can definitely be, you know, utilized when it comes to the church, you know, and when it comes to us and having a personal relationship, you know, with the Lord. So I definitely want to say I am enjoying the topic on tonight. You know, very good, very good topic.
Okay. So we have words of affirmation and we have quality time. Now, the third one is physical touch.
Yeah, yo.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's mine.
That's your second one.
That's mine right there.
Physical touch. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that type of stuff that you talk about.
Right.
Physical touch, that could be as simple as, you know, even with your children or whatever, just going to touch them on the shoulder. Just that is, for some people, that is their love language. You know, they're very touchy-feely. That's what I said about Mariah. I think Mariah is a very touchy-feely person. She does not wait for you. She's going to take, if she wants a kiss, she's going to take it. If she wants a hug, you know, the boys, they'll just kind of stand back, you know, with whatever they want from Kenny or whatever. But she's not that type. If she wants to get in her daddy's lap, then that's what she's going to do. Whether he just got off work and he don't want it, it don't matter. That's not her concern. She don't care. She just takes it. If she'll even go as far as pulling his face or whatever and give me a kiss, and she takes it because that's just Mariah. She's very, very touchy-feely. She just is. We were at the baseball field yesterday, and she was just going up to people and touching them on their – people she didn't even know, touching them on their arms. So, anyway, enough about Mariah. But, yeah, so physical touch, just as simple as, like I said, you know, touching them on the shoulder, holding hands, whatever. If you have a spouse that, you know, whatever, that likes to hold hands, your child, you have a child that likes to you know, jump up in your lap or whatever, or, you know, that is definitely, that could be their primary love language. And so when it comes to that, we want to make sure that for those people that is their primary love language. I think that was probably gifts was my, I don't know, that wasn't the very top either. You know, when you have those type of people, when you're in a relationship with someone and that's their primary love language, then we want to make sure that we are, you know, catering to that as we can, okay? So because that's one of Kenny's top love languages, when we're sitting on the sofa, just grabbing his hand or touching his leg or, you know, or whatever, just because they like that touch.
Yep, I agree. And so far we've gone over, you know, three of the love languages. And what I think we didn't mention, honey, is that these love languages, they come with a double-sided coin, if you will. You have those personnel that enjoy those or have those love languages that are their priority. But not only are they a priority to them, but they also would display those love languages to you. So if they're touchy-feely, that kind of showing you basically that, hey, that's one of their love languages possibly. Or if they like, you know, words of affirmation and they're always giving you words of affirmation and you're not used to it, that could very well be their love language, you know, or the quality time. That like me, I like spending time with my boo, you know what I'm saying? And that just sometimes she be going 100 miles an hour and I be like, look, hello, you going to have to slow down. You know, it's just I need to spend some time with you. I want to be able to hang out with you. And, you know, being at that retreat really taught me up from both sides, you know, both sides of the field. You know what I'm saying? You got to displaying it, then you have you actually projecting the action and showing your love language to the person. So you have to be receptive, and you have to be willing to reciprocate the love language back to one another.
Exactly. And here the book is talking about how physical touch can make or break a relationship. And that's, yeah, that's pretty deep. But it can, though. It can. I know for marriages, we do see that in marriages where, you know, lack of physical touch has, you know, it does cause a problem. I think really probably all of these can in some form make or break a relationship if that's, you know, one of the person's primary, you know, love language and the other person does not cater to that or give in to that, then it can break a relationship. Does anybody have anything to say before we go on? Nothing? Okay. Here it says, physical touch is a powerful communicator of love. Again, with your spouses, with, you know, your parents, your children, your friends. You know, I see my friends, I like to hug my friends. You know, we see each other, we haven't seen each other. I know Pastor Michelle, she doesn't like how I hug. Pastor Michelle, are you there? She don't like how I hug. She feel like I give half hugs.
And you do.
They're not half to me.
They're half. It's not a hearty embrace, you all.
But they're not half to me. You know, but again, my top one isn't physical touch. That's not my top love language. So because it's not, I do have to be a little more conscious when it comes to my husband and you know, my children, like I said, Mariah. And I would think that's definitely one of Jared's too. His top would be physical touch. So I have to be aware, you know, because those are their top love languages. And it's just kind of, you know, making yourself aware, making yourself conscious and just realizing and saying, okay, this is for them, so I have to make sure that I'm doing it from out of love and from my heart, but you know, I'm gonna make sure that I do it because that's important. You know, that speaks love to them.
That's so true. That's so true. So, callers, you know, I know you're here and you're listening, but you're definitely welcome to join in anytime you want to. We're willing to listen. We would love to hear what you have to say on tonight. Yes, we will.
So I have something to say.
All right.
Like, so we are so crazy.
Good evening.
How y'all doing?
Fine.
Well, good. Talking about love, relationship. That's a great topic. One thing we do, we show love at the end of the services. That's what we tell, show somebody some love, a hug, a kiss, a handshake, or something, you know. So I always think about what love got to do with it. Love got everything to do with it. At home, showing your kids that you love them, and it builds up the relationship between the family and between friends. You know, you can tell me you my friend, but if you don't show me you my friend, you know. I'm not talking about a Judas kiss or a Judas who. I'm talking about somebody that's genuine. And so I think this is really a good topic. And spending time with the family, you know, that's a good topic. And showing it too. When you show your children love, they'll turn around and they'll show somebody else love. When I was growing up, you know, our parents couldn't tell us that they loved us. We knew it, but they wouldn't tell us. But we should tell our children that we love them. I tell mine anyway. you know, in the conversation, especially when we're on the phone, I tell them at the end of the conversation, I love you, friends. I tell them I love you because I'm speaking from my heart, what is truly in my heart and not just coming out of my mouth. So it's a good subject, and I think you all going a grand way with it. That's all I got to say. I hope you all heard me.
Thank you, Mama. We did hear you.
Yes, ma'am.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Good job. All right. Use your feet and get out of here. Okay.
Hold on. Pastor Michelle, did you still have something to say?
Yes, sir. So for a recap, I just want to make sure I heard everything clearly. We did affirmation, quality time, and what else?
Physical touch.
Physical touch. Okay, is those the three? We haven't got to the other two.
No. We're about to start number four now.
Okay, right now I haven't heard any of yours yet. After you described them in the book as what the book says, I'm saying that's not my friend. That's not my person. I know my person and that's not it. So I'll just wait for the other two and chime in.
Okay. We're going to go on to the fourth. Thank you so much, Mom. You're right. It is important to show love, and that's what we're talking about, you know, making sure that we show love to help maintain our relationships, because that's part of the reason that we don't, you know, some of our relationships break up, because we don't understand the other person's love language. That's why we have issues in some of our relationships. And like you said, it is important that we show our children love, say I love you to them, and also teach them how to recognize, you know, the love languages to help for, you know, keeping our relationship. Now, acts of service. This is the next one. Acts of service, what this love language is. Okay. This means showing someone that you love them by doing things for them. Now, we're not talking about gifts. We're not talking about giving them anything. When Kenny comes in the house, you know, if, you know, for me being a stay-at-home mom or whatever, he comes in and he helps me with the kids, that's an act of service. When you...
That's definitely one of your love languages right now. Lord, gee, I got...
When you see that the other person is in need of something, not, like I said, not necessarily a gift. It can be, you know, whatever you see that they're in need of. Yeah, an ear to listen or whatever, just whatever they're in need of by doing that service to meet their need at the time. That is a love language.
Contrary to what anybody believe, this one right here, act of service, can make or break a relationship too. Cause I'm here to tell you, oh, Kenny like got his head snatched off from the roof last night. But hey, good God, hallelujah! I'm so glad for His grace and mercy that's renewed every morning. Because Lord knows I needed that grace and mercy renewed this morning. But acts of service, that is important. I mean, if you're giving somebody an ear to hear, a shoulder to cry on, you know, a hand to hold when they're hurting, you know, or even you just your very presence, that's an act of service. Because sometimes, you know, whenever somebody's going through a hard time, we always try to mend that broken heart by saying some kind of kind word. But sometimes the gesture of just being there and being in their very presence is a word that is an action or a gesture that can speak a million times over what you would probably say if you opened your mouth. Because, I mean, I don't know if you all have done it, but I have done it, you know, a couple times, you know, where I've opened my mouth and inserted my own foot in my mouth because I done said something when it just wasn't a good time to say something. Definitely active service. Active service. I like it when, you know, when the kids eat in my wife's car and they clean up behind themselves. That's an active service. That's showing my wife. My wife is showing me through the kids just how much she appreciates me getting out there in that hot sun, you know, thirsty, washing her car, vacuuming out her car. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's not even one of his top love languages. But the act of service, yes, him washing my car. Or if I, you know, if you ask somebody to do something for you, like if I ask Kenny, can you put up the pictures? Can you put up the curtains? And he does that for me. he does that. That's an act of service. And to some people, that shows love. You know, that shows me because you listened to me, you heard my request or you saw my need and you acted on it. So that is a love language. Anybody have anything to say?
Come on, somebody. Do you help kill a girl?
Nobody.
I do. That's your number one love language.
That is my number one love language.
I was standing in the kitchen and I came running to the phone. I told Niecy, as you read the definition, I said, that's the quadrant is right there.
Yeah, that is my number one.
Pastor Michelle.
Sir.
If I can take you back. If I can take you back to Germany. Walk with me, y'all. Walk with me. I'm taking you back to Germany. When my wife was pregnant with Mariah, Skylar Marie Johnson. And I went to McDonald's. And I forgot them fries. Lord. Pastor Michelle, you saved me that day. I owe you, Pastor Michelle. You saved me. Because it was almost over for you. It was almost over for you. For your son, Mama.
Yes.
I'm telling you. I buy some fries, Mama. Mama, cause I didn't do the act of service, Mama, of checking the bag before I pulled off from the drive thru. Lord.
That one was a perk.
I can't believe he just did that on air. But he was right, though. I did feel like you should have checked the bag because those fries were important to me.
At that moment.
That very moment. People were ready to go at that moment. He was no longer Pastor Kenny. He was just Kenny.
Oh my goodness.
But I also offered another act of service. Did I not, Pastor Michelle? I told her, honey,
you
I'm sorry. I will go back and get
your
fries. And I went back and got them fries, y'all.
You did. And she did not say no.
I have a question. Keisha actually texted me this question, y'all. This is not my question. Do you all think our primary love languages are molded by nature or nurture? Do you think we're born with them, or do you think we're mostly influenced by our environment? That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I would say because we argue that all throughout, you know, society, nurture versus nature. For the love language, I haven't read the book, so I'm not an expert. I do believe that a lot of things, I think it's actually half and half. Because overlooking my life, some of my things came from
my environment, things that happened to me. And some of the things came because I believe it was passed down from generation to generation. So I think it has half and half to do, it's half and half to me. Like, I always saw my dad and my mom touchy, kissy, feely. She's trying to cook in the kitchen and he's mooching on her. And she said, John, quit, and giggle. And that's one of the things, the qualities that my husband possesses as well that I absolutely enjoy. So I was nurtured in that sense. So I would say it's 50-50.
Okay. I can see that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I can see it being both. Yeah. I can definitely see that as well. Well, that's a very good question, Keisha. Thank you. Thank you for that. And the last one we'll go over real quick before we end is giving gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Receiving gifts, rather.
Right.
That is the last love language. Some people, they like to receive gifts. That's how they feel like, you know, you show them that you love them by, you know, like Kenny referred to earlier about, you know, I don't ask for the updated rings or whatever, but that's what some people like. They want the, you know, the diamonds. They want the cars. You know, that speaks love to them. And even in that, some of it is just giving the gift of yourself, kind of going with the act of service a little bit. We talked about that as well at the retreat, how part of that is, you know, giving the gift of you, just giving the gift of you, taking the time out to say, hey, I'm going through this. I want you to say, it kind of goes along with quality time too, but, you know, something that you're giving in a time of need. Not on a regular basis, but in a time, you know, in a time of need or whatever. So giving the gift of yourself, but a lot of it focuses on that part. Focuses on receiving gifts, you know, material gifts, and to some people, that's what they feel. So, you know, if you have one of those people in your life, you know, it doesn't have to even be anything big. You know, there were some ladies when we were at the retreat, they, instead of telling me you love me, write me a note and say you love me. So their love language, that is their gift. Instead of just saying it, you write it on a piece of paper. That's a gift to me. You know, instead of having flowers sent, this was one of the discussions that we had. Instead of having, you know, somebody to deliver flowers, you bring me the flowers. I want the flowers, but I want you to bring me the flowers because you're giving me the gift. So those type things. You have anything to say?
Yes. Now we also have right here where receiving gifts is, all of us fall in this category of receiving gifts. You know, and here's what I mean. So, like, you say, hey, I don't know what to get you, you know, what you want for your birthday? You tell me what you want for your birthday, and then I get you something else. But I kind of,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If I get you something else, that shows me right there, boom, wait a minute, you didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
You asked me what I wanted, and yet you went and got me something different. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all have gone into that, you know, but even down to our kids, not parents, you know, year-round, every year, come December 25th time frame, parents ask the children what they want, and the parents go out and they hustle and go and try to find these gifts for their babies because they want their babies to be happy, and that's showing also an expression of love. Now, does that mean that that's the parents' top love language? For some it may be, for some it may not, but they're also acting in that love language of receiving gifts for their kids because that could be one of their kids' love languages. Me coming up, you know, my mom and dad were separated. You know, so my dad would do things like go to buy us stuff to kind of get us, kind of tell us this, I care about you. You know, but in the long run, that really wasn't my love language. I wanted quality time with my dad. Was I able to get it? No, I wasn't able to get it like I wanted to. And you know, and I haven't been the greatest steward of my time with giving that quality time to my boys just because of how I work and then just sometimes I be tired, but I ain't making no excuses. I'm just you know, throwing it out there. But it's receiving gifts, very important, very important.
Right, and like you're saying, as far as even with our children, you know, you can see if that is one of their love languages. Of course, we're not talking about just, you know, spoiling and just giving them because they spoil. Not that. But, you know, you have some children, you can give them, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, something small, and they cherish it. You know, they take, because it came from you, because that is their, you know, their love language. You put them a letter in their lunchbox to say, I love you. And to them, that's a gift. That's speaking love to them. And I have some friends, like Miss Brenda. Miss Brenda, is she on here? Miss Brenda loves cards. You know, Miss Brenda, she's a gift giver. She that's what she does. That is definitely a love language for her. She will go out and she will get you some gifts, and she gives them to you. Every time we go home, you know, she makes sure she gives us. She gives us showers with gifts. You know, she makes sure she sends us cards and writes something beautiful in every card that she sends. She gives us pictures. Y'all, she don't send us pictures making us happy but sad at the same time, because we remember how little we used to be. We're like, oh, this brother got these pictures. You know, so she's that is definitely her love language. You know, so
don't forget to mention her beautiful handwriting.
Yes, she does have beautiful handwriting. My husband wanted to make sure I mentioned that. Beautiful, beautiful handwriting. Thank you. So we just wanted to go over that. We know we've gone past the time. It's 9:12 now, but I really did enjoy that. I hope you all did as well. Again, The 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. He also has The 5 Love Languages of Children. They're the same love languages. He just breaks it down in a children form. And then for those of us associated with the military, The 5 Love Languages Military Edition. I don't know if they sell this one on the shelf or not.
Yes, they do.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Yeah, you know, so it gives us that little extra. Because, honestly, we do need that extra. When you are... You know, when you are married to a soldier, it does take a little extra in some areas. And, you know, because they can be kind of hardcore, because that's what they do all day. So it just breaks that down, how to, you know, to deal with the soldier part of them. So it's a very good book. I definitely would recommend it. Does anybody, yeah, all three of them, does anybody have anything to say, anything else to say? No. Okay. Anything, babe?
I'm good. I thank you all for calling in on tonight. Definitely was a pleasure to be able to sit back and chit chat and just talk with everyone. That definitely was a blessing.
Yeah. So please, thank you guys for calling. We will be here Friday night at 8 Eastern. And, you know, if you know anybody that will benefit from this, share the broadcast. And we do appreciate you guys. Love you all. You all have a wonderful night.
Good night.